WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. 617-627-3800. Lock those numbers into your phone. Give us a call. Be a part of the show. We love to hear from you. We also love it when you go and find us at facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. Facebook.com. You know you're there anyway. Go to Big Picture WMFO. Like us. You get a news story every day. You get to be a part of the ongoing excitement. Lisa doesn't post anything anymore. I do all the work.
I actually posted something 2 days ago.
What did you post 2 days ago? About the shooting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes.
You used to post nice things about beer, and you don't post nice things about beer anymore.
But the Facebook page has had a lot of traffic in the past couple days.
Yes, it has.
Which has been fantastic.
Coming up later tonight, we're going to be talking about what Lisa posted about. It is the story of the day. Unfortunately, we have to talk about terrorism yet again. So we're going to be getting into that. But we're also going to be bringing you our favorite things from the past week, the funniest stories from the past week, and everything that's kind of going on in the world that isn't related to that. So stick around for a couple hours. It's a great night, as I said on Facebook earlier, for Radio on the Porch.
Yeah.
This is a great night. Just go sit on your porch, break out the radio, pop open a beer, and relax.
Two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And you know how much I love this warm weather.
So. Yes.
Yeah, I'm loving this. And the fact that we're going to have a really nice week.
So. This is a perfect porch and radio night, and the Red Sox are going to lose. So just stick around with us.
Ugh, you're such a Debbie Downer.
I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but they lose a lot is the point that I'm making.
It's actually not true.
They lose a lot lately.
It's so weird because they're tied for first place. Actually, no, after last night's loss, second place.
Yeah.
I will take it.
I will take pitching. If anyone finds any pitching, please send it in the direction of the Boston Red Sox.
Well, there's way more else that's going on in the world other than the Red Sox being in second place. Today in local news, we learned, you know that feeling when you don't get as much money back at the end of the year for taxes? Massachusetts feels your pain. Massachusetts is facing a budget gap that could force lawmakers to wipe out as much of the new spending proposed by Governor Charlie Baker, the House and Senate programs, ranging from opioid abuse prevention and early education. Baker's budget office announced Tuesday that even though that the state's economy is humming along, state tax revenue for the fiscal year that starts January 1st is expected to be $450 million to $750 million less than anticipated. That means that the spending plans proposed by Baker and passed through by both legislative chambers will be premised overly exuberant tax haul estimate. And since the state has a balanced budget, policymakers will have to cut spending and find new sources of cash quickly. Because we know that is so incredibly easy here in Massachusetts.
How do we wind up with this budget shortfall?
Yeah. Now, the state economy still appears relatively strong, the government's saying. Unemployment is low. Sales revenue remains solid, which shows that people are buying goods. You know, money is still being taken out of people's paychecks at the end of the week. So we do have money coming in. Just what happened is they make these estimates there in the House, you know, up on Beacon Hill, based on false numbers. What? So when they make a budget, they think that we're getting in this $450 to $750 million.
Well, that's what we're talking. We're talking about, at the high end, $735 million that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? How does that happen?
Because we're not talking about, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars over budget.
No, we're talking.
And we're not talking about a couple million over budget. We're talking in the hundreds of million dollars.
More than half $1 billion is not available.
I was going to say we're a quarter of a way to a billion.
So where is it? Mm-hmm. What projections fell short? What was this based on?
No, absolutely. That is a valid question to be asking.
And
that's a valid question to be asking Governor Charlie Baker. It's everybody on Beacon Hill.
Baker's just sitting around spending the money, and everyone on Beacon Hill's sitting around spending the money. Nobody is looking at the money that's coming in.
Yeah, but ultimately,
what they should be doing.
You need to point a finger to him and say, why is there no oversight in what's going on Beacon Hill?
Well, in theory, there is. There was supposed
what's
to be
the problem
there's
here?
Supposed to be a tax
of the
office.
State.
There's supposed to be a tax office. There's supposed to be a budget office. They should have these numbers well before the middle of June. Because the legislative session ends in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go into these 24-hour-a-day, you know, budgeting sessions to try and get something done for next year. And now we find out we're missing nearly $750 million.
Where is it?
Where'd it go? Who screwed up?
Well, now the big question is, will taxes be raised? Because essentially, they're coming out of Beacon Hill and saying, well, we need to find cash and we need to find it quickly. Where are you going to find cash?
Privatize the MBTA. Privatize the MBTA. Sell it off tomorrow.
The people of the Commonwealth. You know, you have Baker coming out and saying, absolutely not. We won't be raising taxes. You have Speaker of the House, DeLeo, also coming out and saying, we will not be raising taxes. We are known for being tax-atuses.
Yeah.
Taxes will be raised.
Yeah.
Unless they can think of some crazy thing in their mind that they're going to put another luxury tax on. I get it. You put it on cigarettes. You put it on, you know, the next thing. But what else? What's next?
Oh,
you know what we talked about last week in the show? Oh, fireworks. That's actually some money that the state could use. You're talking about wanting to find money and find money quickly.
Yeah, legalize fireworks.
Well, you know what? How about you take down those stupid signs on 93 telling me it's illegal and you're going to throw me in jail if I blow up, you know, one of those Twizzlers.
That'll get you $35 million. Is this why we suddenly have outbound tolls in the harbor tunnels and on the Mystic River Bridge that suddenly appeared out of nowhere that no one knew about?
Surprise.
Is that why these tolls are suddenly in effect? With no public comment, with no public input whatsoever. Oh, yeah, we're going to have these tolls.
Mm.
They were hoping to sneak that one through, I guess.
Derek, they're for the roads.
Yeah. But where's the money? Where is the money? I'll tell you where part of the money is. Cigarette taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've jacked them up and jacked them up and jacked them up. And guess what?
People are going to New Hampshire.
People stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a limit to that, which I said years ago when they first started with these cigarette taxes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but when they did first come out with that, people said, there's no way people are going to start quitting smoking because it's too high. Well, that's fact. People can't afford to smoke.
No.
When you can't afford to smoke something, you maybe buy a box of chew that's going to last you 2 weeks instead of a pack of cigarettes that maybe is going to last you a day.
Smoking has become a way to show off your elite status now because only the rich can afford to smoke. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're smoking, you're obviously at a certain income level. And it's like, well, that guy can afford to smoke.
Even enough discretionary.
That's where $11 a pack cash. We're up to in this state, just about. $11 a pack.
No, but it's the truth. People are going up to New Hampshire for this.
Well, you can go anywhere that isn't Massachusetts and pay less for cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Vermont, you can go to Rhode Island, you can go to Connecticut. But $735 million that we don't have. If a business found itself in this situation, that business would cease to exist. And there would be lawsuits left and right. You cannot run a state like this. Someone needs to be held accountable. And the local media, I know it's full of airheads these days. I know that all the people that were actual journalists have moved on or retired, and what we're left with is these bubbleheads who are trying to get up to the network level, okay? Mm-hmm. You turn them on, there's a bunch of bubbly little blonde girls sitting around, hey, here's the news for today. Somebody needs to ask where the money went. Someone needs to ask why, at the 11th hour, we're $735 million short. Because the taxpayers have a right to know. I think there may still actually be a journalist left at the Boston Globe. Pull that person off whatever he or she is doing and send that person to the State House and don't let them go home until they have an answer.
No, and if you don't believe that this will not affect you, it absolutely will.
Of course it will.
If we're not only just talking about having your own taxes being raised, but all this money goes into the state budget. The state budget is the thing that pays for all the extra things that we get, the services.
One way or another, that $735 million is coming out of you if you live in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That's where it's coming from. And boy, here's a pleasant surprise. So what are we going to do?
Why should we, the people of the Commonwealth, people of Massachusetts, have to pay for this missing money? Is that right?
We're talking about $150 for every man, woman, and child in the state.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about paying $150 for incompetent on Beacon Hill.
That's what they need to come up with. $150 for every man, woman, and child in the state.
Is that a new tax in Massachusetts? Beacon Hill incompetence. Everybody's charged $150. Is that the new thing that's going to be added on at the end of the year?
Which, because half the people don't pay taxes because they're below income thresholds. People on fixed incomes don't pay taxes. We have to have the graduated tax. It's going to wind up being more like $750, $800, maybe $1,000 per person who actually pays taxes in this state. This doesn't just happen, folks. This doesn't just drop out. Oh, my God, we're $735 million short. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't just happen. And somebody needs to be up on Beacon Hill asking questions about this. I'd be up there doing it, but I'm here. In national news, yes, it is 2016. I'm going to remind everybody of this. If I can, great. This is now decided to do nothing. There we go. I don't know why nothing here is working.
It's not a new thing.
It's not a new thing. National news, and once again, I will remind you, 2016, a two-year-old boy was killed by an alligator at a lake in Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa last night. The attack took place at the Seven Seas Lagoon, an artificial lake that links to waterways throughout the Disney World Resort. Sheriff Jeffrey L. Deming said this was the first time in the resort's 45-year history that a person was killed by an alligator. As of Wednesday afternoon, five alligators had been trapped, euthanized, and examined. While alligator attacks in Florida are rare, two people were killed by alligators in 2015. So they were having movie night on the beach, and the two-year-old was at the edge of the water, possibly in the water. Either way, it's marked no swimming. What it doesn't say is danger alligators. And everybody who's blaming the parents for this, sorry, you don't get that one this time. If you're taking your child to Disney,
you'd think it's pretty safe, right?
You're expecting a certain level of safety.
One would assume, considering the amount of children that are there.
You are not expecting, these are people from Nebraska. You are not expecting alligators. There should not be alligators in the lagoon. And if there are alligators in the lagoon, there should be a fence around the lagoon to keep people from getting near the alligators.
What one would assume.
Yeah. This has
that, I mean, your logic, Derek, to me makes perfect sense. I'm wondering, the people that are involved with Disney and involved with the resort never thought of that. And knowing that there were alligators that habitat in the lake that live there would swim around it. And just to kind of get the geological like scope of what this is, if you've ever been to Disney, there's a giant lake right in the middle, and all of little boat taxis will bring you from your hotel to the different parks. I think there's about three of the major parks that are attached to this lake. But there's so many boats going in and out. There's not only boats, there's paddle boats.
Right.
An alligator can easily get in a paddle boat. So yes, Derek, I agree with you. I don't want to hear the people saying, well, what is a baby doing up at 9:30? I heard that.
Yeah.
What is it doing by the water? This is a nightly thing that the hotel puts on. It's movie night on the beach. It's like you pull up your blankets. It's great.
Yeah. Until the alligator shows up and ruins it for everybody.
Now, it's not like the baby was just on its own. The father was next to the baby and actually tried to fight
the father was fighting with the alligator, trying to get his son back. The mother went into the water. Other people went into the water after, but it's an alligator.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win that battle. You know, it's not like a shark where if you hit it enough, it'll let go.
Mm-hmm.
Alligators don't do that. They don't care.
Now, up until this afternoon, they were still what they called a quote-unquote search and rescue mission, which we all knew there was no possible way.
Yeah.
It was either in the lake or it was eaten.
Yeah.
And I don't know the appetite of an alligator and if it usually enjoys flesh. But
alligators are carnivores. Alligators will eat people.
I assumed that the baby was in the alligator.
Given the
opportunity.
Now,
when they were wondering how to get the alligator out, I was like, just put more babies on the beach.
Yeah,
to lure
that's
them.
Not good. No, that's
but
not.
But later this afternoon, we did find out that the baby was dead.
Yeah.
And it is from more likely because the body was completely whole that it drowned in the lake.
Somebody apparently forgot that the alligator is an ambush predator. And you do not want to be within 15 feet of a body of water that has alligators in it, mm-hmm. because the alligators will shoot out of that water at about 40 miles an hour and grab onto whatever they can find. That's how they hunt.
And they're incredibly quick.
Yeah. 40 miles an hour, 30 to 40 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they hunt. Now, I guess the conventional wisdom is that alligators are not going to be around if there's a lot of people and activity around. That they found 5 alligators in the lagoon. So we can throw that conventional wisdom out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney needs to keep people away from the lagoon now. You got to put up some fences.
They closed all of the beaches today.
Either that, or you have to figure out a way to alligator-proof the canals that feed your lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
And they have monitors. Disney does have monitors that keep an eye on the water and look for dangerous animals. And if they see an alligator, they call Florida's Fish and Wildlife, mm-hmm. who will come in and remove the alligator. Apparently, this lagoon is pretty murky. The alligators come in at night, so they're harder to see, and you can't see them in the dark water. And nobody knew that. They found 5 of them in there. I mean, we're not...
And we're talking about in just a 12-hour span.
Yeah.
They found 5.
We're not talking about single alligator went rogue. There's 5 alligators in the lagoon. Mm-hmm. So, clearly...
And I believe the alligators that they did find were in a small area radius around where the Grand Floridian Hotel is.
Yeah.
If you look at this on the larger scope, this is a very large body of water. I mean, it's a good 15-minute... 20-minute boat ride from one end, say, the Polynesian
yeah.
or the Grand Floridian, which is right next to it, to all the way to the other end where Magic Kingdom is.
Yeah, this is a giant man-made lake is what it is.
So one would assume there are more than 5 in there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They're still looking for alligators.
So. And all of these resorts are on the water.
Yeah.
If you look at, I think, the Caribbean Beach Resort, they have, you know, like a fake beach style where they do luau's and whatnot on it. This is a cause for concern.
Yeah. Putting up a sign that says, because we always talk about what caused the tragedy on mm-hmm. this show. What is the moment that led to the tragedy? Well, the moment that led to the tragedy is not telling your patrons that your lagoon is full of alligators.
Because maybe people wouldn't get so close to water. If I saw a giant sign that said, you know, large alligators,
yeah.
I would maybe take a step back. I don't want to hear the rhetoric that maybe a fence around each area isn't aesthetically pleasing, because you know what isn't aesthetically pleasing? Watching a baby come out of the water
yeah.
hole that's dead at 2 years old for family on vacation.
Yeah. No swimming doesn't mean anything. No swimming doesn't mean there are alligators in the water. That's a different thing. Whenever the Portuguese man of war are out, they post the alerts all up and down the Florida beaches and nobody goes in the water because mm-hmm. they know better. You don't want to get stung by one of those things. Alligators, they post signs where there are known to be alligators. And I have to believe if Disney had some signs up that said, stay away from water, alligators, people are going to stay away from the water and not let their toddlers wander into it because there might be alligators in there.
It's a very simple logic.
I can't fault the parents at all for this.
I mean,
not
you know.
One tiny bit. And if you fault mm-hmm. the parents for this, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you're just an internet blowhard.
We knock a lot of unintelligent people on this show. But if somebody sees a picture of an alligator, you don't even have to write it. One may say, beware.
Yeah. Even a sign that says may contain alligators will be enough to keep people away. You know, Disney's going to pay out a lot of money on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Disney's going to pay out an awful lot of money on this one. And we'll see what changes they make. You know, because I think everybody in Orlando and other parts of Florida has more or less, I don't want to say forgotten, but minimize the danger of living with alligators because
mm-hmm.
it's something that people hear about down there, and every now and again there's one on the news, but it's sort of like, oh, the alligators, they're just kind of a nuisance.
Oh, absolutely. Well, in so many of these gated communities, which is so prevalent in especially southern Florida, I had a cousin that lives in Fort Myers in one of those areas, right in the middle, not like a swamp, but it's a small body of water, just chilling in the
yeah.
grass, a couple gators, and I'm like, is that cause for concern for anybody? And she's like, well, no, that's why everybody's pool is gated.
Yeah.
and fenced in and like still a little apprehensive.
Exactly. It's like that's an alligator.
For,
over here.
You know, just a casual walk, maybe after dark. In the daylight, I'm a little more aware of it, but at night.
Mm. Yeah, that's an apex predator.
Nope.
Okay, that is an apex predator. You don't want that in your backyard. You don't want that in your resort. You don't want that in your pool. Because under the right circumstances, they will kill people.
Mm-hmm.
The alligator population in Florida is rising, which means alligators are moving into new areas because alligators don't like hanging around with other alligators. They all want their own territory. And as they move closer and closer into urban communities, they're going to find new things to eat, including pets, including children, including frail humans. It's a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of attacks has been going up by about 3% every year. Still very, very rare for an alligator attack to take place. But what we see time and time again is as animals move deeper and deeper into human populations, you see more incidents like this. Disney screwed up real bad. Screwed up real bad on this one. And my heart bleeds for these parents because I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine how horrific that moment was for them. And world news, with just over a week to go until the United Kingdom will vote on its future in the European Union, polls are predicting a win for the Leave campaign. A YouGov The Times poll on Monday found the Leave camp ahead by 7 points, the largest gap since polling began. The Sun, Britain's largest newspaper, on Tuesday ran a front-page story encouraging people to vote Leave, and the Leave campaign has just over 13,000 more supporters than the Remain campaign on Facebook.
Now, this is dubbed Brexit.
Yes.
And I'm actually surprised how little people are talking about this and how significant it is. We're talking about, and we saw it in the past couple of years, different countries trying to separate themselves from Scotland. That was last year. But we're talking about Britain here. And Britain wants to take itself out of the United Kingdom and be on its own. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Britain has its own form of currency.
Britain never got on board with the euro, at making it the official national currency. The pound sterling is still the national currency of
the United
Kingdom.
And they're the only country that does use that.
Yeah, they're the only ones that were allowed to get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can pay in euros. Everything has a euro price and a pound sterling price in the United Kingdom. So they are freely convertible over there. But the preferred currency is pound sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there are a number of things that come into play here. Immigration is a big, big issue in the United Kingdom right now. And it's going about as well over there as it is over here. So everybody who, in this country who likes to sit around and say, why can't we be enlightened like the Europeans, hasn't been paying attention to what's been going on in Europe for the last 5 years. There is that sort of historic wariness of Germany. And a lot of Leave supporters don't appreciate the growing power of Germany within the European Union. And as far back as 20 years ago, there were people who were saying the European Union is just the latest attempt by Germany to take over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They're succeeding on that front because if Britain leaves, they're the only economic superpower left.
Well, there you just hit it right now. And if somebody were to ask what is most significant about this, it has to do with the economy.
Yeah.
Because not only are we talking about the economy just in Britain, Britain's economy is very large on the world market. So you are going to be feeling the effects in many different markets across the world, which, especially people here on Wall Street and investors, nothing happens or no news gets attention for this until we're talking about the monies.
Along with New York, Tokyo, Singapore, Tokyo, and Hong Kong, London is one of the banking capitals of the planet. More money flows through London's banks than just about any place else. All of Europe's money flows through London's banks. So they have a tremendous banking industry. That, at a higher level, has been an ongoing sticking point between the United Kingdom and the European Union.
Now, with regards to the financial market, if we do see Britain exit from the United Kingdom, what are we going to see happen?
It's being priced in right now. The main thing that's happened is German bonds for the first time in their history went negative yesterday. German bonds historically have been one of the safest investments on the planet because Germany will wind up absorbing more of the financial responsibility for the EU, which includes the problems in Greece, problems in Italy, which are not being widely discussed, but Italy is in danger of going under, the threat of Catalonian secession in Spain and more violence there that might result from a Brexit. Germany is under a lot of pressure. So investors in general are pulling out of the EU right now, and they are putting that money into U.S. bonds. So German bonds are also, within Europe itself, the number one destination. So everybody's buying German bonds and getting no yields on them. They just want to preserve the face value of their money.
Now, has Germany said anything about the Brexit, or have you seen, I mean, is Merkel quite vocal on this?
Everybody.
I mean, one would assume, because if we're talking about a country that presumes itself as the leader of the EU, which I do believe Germany does do, they're not going to be very happy with this.
Merkel.
Because the tensions that it is going to cause across the Eurozone, not good.
Merkel hasn't gone on record yet, and I expect that we will hear from her in the 11th hour, either over the weekend or by this time next week, telling the Brits not to leave the European Union. The Swiss finance minister let David Cameron have it yesterday and basically said, you're going to lose all of your support from us and you're not going to be able to sell to us anymore, and a lot of other empty threats.
So they're basically using some sort of fear tactics for the people of Britain to vote to stay in
now,
there.
If you follow the financial markets, and you should, you will notice that they have been down quite a bit in the last couple of days. The reason for that is that the global community is pricing the Brexit into stocks right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how low it will go. So
they're doing this just to ensure that if the vote does go through and they are now succeed from the United Kingdom, that all of a sudden the markets aren't going to take an astronomical hit.
We are teetering on the verge of recession in this country, and a Brexit could be the thing that kicks it over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because of uncertainty.
What do you think the likelihood of that is?
It's tough to say, because one of the things that will happen is that there will be a flight to U.S. bonds. So that will make a lot of capital available in the United States.
Isn't
that
going to pump up our market?
The downside of that is that flight to the United States is going to raise the value of the U.S. dollar, which means our exports cost more.
Mm-hmm.
And when our exports cost more, we sell less. Coupled with a near inevitable recession in Europe, yes, we are probably heading into a recession, I would say, sometime in the next 18 to 24 months.
I was going to say, I mean, this isn't something that just happens overnight. So if we're talking about, yes, U.S. bonds, which we are seeing an increase going up, that floods our market. Therefore, the dollar value goes up. Goods now being exported are up. What are we looking at a time frame of this?
It would take 2 years.
I mean, this isn't like an overnight thing where, you know, bam, bam, we're done.
They expect it to take about 2 years to unwind the United Kingdom from the European Union entirely.
And we will know this next week.
We'll know this next Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So 41 years of the great EU experiment may come to an end. And this could be the thing that simply blows the EU apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because Germany may want to keep it going. And certainly there are a lot of smaller countries that see the benefit of it. France, I think, is likely to stick with Germany no matter what. But there are other countries, you know, whether or not Germany by itself, as the real economic power in Europe, can continue to support countries like Greece and Italy becomes a very, very big question.
Mm.
WMFO Medford. They like it when I say that.
In sports news today, we learned that the NHL is ready to roll the dice in Vegas. The NHL has decided on Las Vegas as its site for potential expansion. According to the Associated Press, and an official announcement could follow the Board of Governors meeting on June 22nd at the NHL Awards. very fitting, in Las Vegas. A person direct with knowledge of the NHL's decision and the league has settled on a new home, provided organizers can come up with a $500 million fee. The franchise would be the NHL's 31st team and the first major professional sports franchise in Las Vegas, the rapidly growing gambling center of the American West. The NHL hasn't expanded since 2000, when Minnesota and Columbus paid $80 million each to join the league. The Las Vegas bid has secured more than 14,000 season ticket deposits for the new team, which will play in the T-Mobile Arena, the new multi-purpose building in the south end of the Las Vegas Strip. The arena, which seats 17,500 for hockey, was built entirely on private money by the MGM Resorts International and the owners of the Los Angeles Kings.
How long do you suppose before Mark Cuban tries to get the Thunder over there?
Yeah.
Right? Because isn't that going to be the next move? I mean, you got him out of Seattle. Now you're in Oklahoma. Get him to Vegas.
You know what's really interesting about this? This comes just on the heels as we have all this momentum and going on with a brand new stadium in Los Angeles coming up for football. And you have multiple teams. San Diego Chargers are involved. The Raiders are also involved. What's the third team? Somebody out here.
The Rams.
St. Louis Rams. And it's interesting because we are now seeing franchises trying to capitalize on different markets. We have, as I said, we haven't expanded the NHL since 2000. So now we're looking at 16 years later. When I first heard, yeah, they're going to have a hockey team in Vegas, I thought that was the craziest idea. Then I really stopped to think about it. I'm like, that is genius.
I think
this will now become a destination for just hockey fans. Maybe weren't thinking about going to Vegas, but it benefits on both, because if you're going to Vegas for the weekend, hey, why not check out, doesn't matter who it is, let's check out a hockey game.
I think the bigger question is, why isn't there a professional sports team in Las Vegas already? Other than these ongoing vague concerns about gambling somehow influencing the performance of the team, maybe that happens, maybe that doesn't, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have basketball come in now, because all the major cities that have basketball and hockey maximize the value of those stadiums by having both teams play in the same arena.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're only going to play 45 hockey games, home hockey games a year. So now you got all this space open. Well, we can get 45 basketball games in here a year. You've got a big venue for concerts and things like that. This puts Vegas on the map. The other thing is, I think the Oakland Raiders moving to Las Vegas is now a done deal. Once you have one major sport move into a city,
everybody's going to want to go in.
Everybody, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because the money, everybody knows the money is there.
And as you said, the only reason why another team hasn't been in there so far is because of this whole idea of gambling, and will it affect maybe a team's performance?
Nobody wanted to jump first.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to be the one that jumped first and took the risk and took the hit if something goes wrong. Now that somebody's in there, that provides cover for everybody else to come in and say, yeah,
it's
we
okay
can do a
that
team
they
here.
Did it. We can do it now.
And I think among the NFL owners, I have to believe they recognize that there are too many teams in California right now, that you need to get one of these teams out of California.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get the Raiders into Vegas, problem solved. You have football in a state that currently does not have football, so you are extending the visibility of your sport. Everybody who's in Arizona and Colorado and Utah can come out and catch themselves some football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a win for them. You also solve that problem of having all of these West Coast teams.
Just looking, though, at the numbers, we're talking about 14,000 people already put in deposits for season ticket holders. We're also talking about that being in a stadium that only holds 17,000. So the demand for this is going to be very large.
Sure.
This is going to be one of the hottest tickets that you are going to get in Vegas. Because what's better than, you know, a hockey game? And it doesn't matter if it's your home team or not. I'm in Vegas. Great to see that.
But
well, what's up next? Wouldn't it be great to go see a football game? You gamble all weekend. Right before you fly back on Monday, you check out a football game.
But keep in mind, every hotel on the Strip bought 500 season tickets that they're going to hand out as comps to their VIP guests. Everybody in town wants a piece of that thing because it's live entertainment. It's pro sports in Las Vegas. You already have all these people coming in to bet on sports. Now you can actually go watch some. It's a natural fit. And the NFL, I think now, is probably going to get over its reluctance and say, well, the NHL is in there. I will be very surprised.
I feel like the NFL will move quicker than the NBA.
I will be very surprised if we don't see a basketball team. And I'm looking at Mark Cuban. I'm looking at the Oklahoma Thunder. I know that seemed like a great idea at
Cuban
the time.
Cuban doesn't own the Thunder.
Who owns the Thunder?
Cuban owns the Mavericks.
Cuban, the Mavericks aren't going anywhere. Who owns the Thunder?
I don't know.
Because they pulled them out of... Maybe, you know what? You got a bunch of teams in Los Angeles. Maybe Steve Ballmer is going to say, you know what? We could move the Clippers to Las Vegas.
I mean, the owner of the Kings does own this new stadium.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I have to
Could that be foreshadowing something?
I have to believe that there is a plan in place for this. That someone in the NBA is looking at this and saying,
oh, of course. Everybody's salivating at the mouth.
We want a piece of that.
With the idea of having sports, either live sports in Vegas, other than, you know, boxing or USC.
Either one of the far too numerous California basketball teams or one of the small market basketball teams. You could move Utah to Las Vegas and probably keep your minuscule fan base.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I believe that you have more Jazz fans across the country than you actually do in Utah.
Well, but fans across the country aren't going to fly to Utah to go see the Jazz because you're still in Salt Lake City. There's nothing to do.
Exactly, and that, though, is why it's so attractive to go to Vegas.
Yeah, so somebody's moving in. So by this time next year, no, I'm gonna narrow the timeline on that.
No, because we're not talking about the actual hockey season. The first year that it would be competing would be the 2017 to 2018. More likely, it's going to be a year.
Here's my prediction. By the start of the NBA season, which is in October, we will find out which basketball team is going to be moving to Las Vegas. They will play their final season at home and then make the move. By February, just before the Super Bowl, which is when the big league meetings happen, we will find out that the Oakland Raiders are going to be moving to Las Vegas. Then the question becomes whether or not Major League Baseball gets involved. I don't see that happening. Major League Baseball still has a little bit too much at stake.
There's a different, not that I believe that there's a different audience or spectator that does go to NBA games, NHL games, but it's definitely a different market compared to the average baseball player. That's more of a home team thing, and I feel like you have more fans that are going from the surrounding areas and not traveling in to the city other than, you know, your diehards. But you're not going to see the people of Vegas, you know, jumping on a new baseball team and driving out from Henderson, Nevada, over into the Strip.
Number one.
They try to stay away from the Strip as much as possible.
Number one, outdoor football in 80-degree weather in December is cool. Number two, outdoor baseball in 120-degree weather in July is not fun. That alone is going to be a problem. But you've also got the whole history that Major League Baseball has with gambling and the fact that the league was nearly brought down by a match-fixing scandal in the World Series. Look at Pete Rose. Look at what's happened with Pete Rose. That tells you everything you need to know about why Major League Baseball is not going to take a chance on Vegas. But I predict football, Oakland Raiders coming to Vegas, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders, and we will see an NBA team in that stadium.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Kings. Well, today in food news, we learned more troubles at Whole Foods than its $10 apples. Whole Foods Market Inc. has until the end of June to address serious violations discovered by the federal regulators during a February inspection of a Massachusetts plant that supplies ready-to-eat products across the Northeast. In a warning letter to the company's chief executives dated June 8th, The U.S. Food and Drug Administration said Whole Foods had failed to manufacture, package, and store foods in ways that reduce them for potential contamination and microorganism growth. On a long list of problems, FDA inspectors said it found foods like pesto pasta and mushroom quesadillas being prepared or stored in places where contamination was dripping from the ceilings, doorways, and fans.
No. That's not technology. That's their secret ingredient.
Yes. A little spice.
Yes.
It said the company kept dirty dishes near food, didn't supply hot water at hand washing sinks, and allowed high pressure hoses used for cleaning to spray into areas where food like couscous, salad, and salad dressings were being prepared. Now, you had a Whole Foods spokesperson coming out and saying the company already addressed this. Like I said, they got the letter back in February after the FDA came in and said, no, we got a problem. Again, they get another letter. Why are they getting another letter? Because clearly there's still a problem. So the spokesperson that's coming out and saying, no, we cleaned everything up. It's not. If you remember last year, and I believe we did talk about it on this show, there was Listeria contamination in, I believe it was a chicken salad and a pasta salad. But now we're talking about the Massachusetts plant of Whole Foods.
Leaks.
That
it leaks. The roof leaks, the air conditioners leak, and you know where it leaks? Into your food.
But we're talking about the food that is packaged for ready to eat.
Yeah.
And this is a huge, huge division of their brand.
When they make the asparagus water, does the water come off of the roof?
That's why it's murky.
Yeah.
But not just here in Massachusetts. We're talking about Connecticut. We're talking about Rhode Island, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, across the Northeast. Just from this one plant in Massachusetts. It has had multiple problems in the past. What is going on? Do consumers not give you enough money?
We're never going to know.
Buy all of your expensive produce and organic, hormone-free, cage-free eggs.
We'll never find out for a simple reason. At Whole Foods, the ass is silent.
This is just, another thing from a company that is branding itself on this, super granola crunchy, healthy kick. We got crap going on in the bag.
Yeah.
You could contamination, organisms growing. What?
Yeah, well, that's a lot of crap, and everybody should know that, except for easily led, conscious shoppers.
Health conscious.
Who have too much money and too little time, apparently, to actually read anything. I got nothing again. Nothing, no problems whatsoever with the 1% getting Listeria and getting whatever else they're getting at Whole Foods. You paid extra for that. That's what you get. That's the bonus that you get for shopping at Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. Is
just that added extra oomph.
Yeah. And by the way, don't think for a second this is limited to Whole Foods. This kind of thing goes on everywhere.
Of course.
Whole Foods just got caught. So You can walk around feeling smug and morally
thinking
superior.
You're so special.
Thinking, well, I shop at Market Basket and they're different. Maybe they are.
I'm wondering if anybody's listening, warming up that ready-to-eat Whole Foods.
Can I tell you something? If I had any prepackaged food from Whole Foods, it's going right in the trash.
Mm-hmm, getting rid of
that. It's got Everett rainwater in it. You don't want that. You absolutely do not want that. In technology news, virtual reality was the talk of the show at the Electronic Entertainment Expo this year, but the early reviews are not promising. Both Sony and Microsoft plan to have higher-powered versions of their consoles available this fall, and Sony will be launching its own PlayStation VR as a $399 add-on to its PlayStation 4 consoles. VR games shown at E3 drew a lukewarm response, particularly the VR content planned for Final Fantasy XV. One standout was Capcom's Resident Evil 7, which can be played entirely in virtual reality, or at least until you crap your pants. I don't know that I want to play.
Whichever one comes first.
I don't know that I want to play Resident Evil 7 in virtual reality. I think I will have a heart attack and die.
Yeah, I'm good just playing on the screen if I actually did play video games.
Those are scary, scary, scary games. And the demo that they showed was a scary, scary demo.
Mm.
And it just, no, I don't need zombies jumping out at me.
Yeah, the internet has been quite the buzz about some of the new trailers for the games that are coming out because of this show.
Yeah. I didn't honestly see anything that was that appealing coming out of E3 this year. A lot of a lot of what's announced that is that actually has release dates is stuff that we've seen before. It's all first-person shooters.
Now, when they're talking, about virtual reality, and we've talked many times on this show about the new upcoming Oculus Rift and how that is going to change the state virtual reality. Is this a topic that was, I'm sure, brought up at this showcase?
Rift is going to work with your Xbox. Sony's got their own device, which is going to work with every PlayStation 4. The question is content. It's not, the consoles can do it. Mm-hmm. The hardware is out there. The product is not out there yet because the demos that they showed off and the games that they showed off are really just little add-ons to existing games. Like in Final Fantasy 15, you can hop in an arena and kill a monster and that's it. Okay, that's fun for what, 5 minutes? There's a Batman Arkham game coming out where you're Batman as a detective solving a mystery. Okay, I get to put the cowl on. That's cool. But the whole thing only lasts about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So is that, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for immersive experiences. And Bethesda announced that they're going to have Fallout 4 available in VR. Again, don't know that I want to be fighting Deathclaws. if I think that I'm actually in that world, probably not good for my heart.
Yeah, that's going to be the new punishment for children. Parents just put on the virtual reality of Final Fantasy and see how they fare well.
Resident Evil 7 is going to be completely playable in VR. It's from a first-person perspective now instead of third-person. Once again, don't know that I want to be in the cabin in the middle of the woods surrounded by zombies. Might be fun, but
I'm waiting to see how many people keel over and die
from doing this.
Very large market that's going to want this and is going to spend their money on it.
I'm waiting to see how many people keel over and die because these games are too scary.
Yeah, they're going to have the acute seizure warning now on every single...
I don't know.
Oculus Rift and VR now come with a defibrillator. Just in case.
I would love roller coaster simulators. I would love being able to travel anywhere in the world and walk around. And
that's right. I always forget that you're a roller coaster guy.
Those kinds of experiences in VR would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Being chased around by a death claw, not so much. Not really looking forward to
that. Yeah, not appealing.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
You liking the weather, Lisa?
I am.
It's been pretty good the last couple of days. Yesterday was one of those absolute 100% winter days that we get so rarely around here.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. I was down by Fenway Park, enjoyed, a little of that pre-gaming baseball.
Sunny, low humidity, perfect temperature, and that's pretty much what we have on tap for tomorrow. We're going to get some clouds blowing around tonight. Humidity has gone up a little bit. Low about 62 tonight. And then tomorrow we're going to have a high of about 75 degrees. Partly sunny. Actually, mostly sunny tomorrow. So that's a win. Get out, enjoy the beach, have some fun. No chance of rain, little bit of wind. And then tomorrow night, temperatures fall back into the upper 50s. Friday, mostly sunny, high of about 70. Temperatures in the mid-50s Friday night. Saturday, it's going to be in the low 70s. Not a cloud in the sky. Lows in the 50s Saturday night. And then Sunday is the hot one. High of about 80. And temperatures falling back to about 60 degrees. Once again, no rain in sight.
And just to remind everybody, it is Father's Day on Sunday. And which is great because fathers don't want to go out anyways on Father's Day. So this is going to be a perfect day. Crank up that barbecue.
Yeah.
Stay home. You want a good gift? Buy him a six-pack of beer.
Go enjoy that outdoors.
I'm sure he would enjoy that much more than the tie from Sears.
Go enjoy that outdoors that you've been working so hard to make presentable this weekend. Or do what I'm doing and go to New York. 617-627-3800 is the phone number. WMFO is the station. The big picture is the show. I'm Derek Gary. She's Lisa Nichols. We will be back in just a couple with Did You Hear? All the other things making news right here on WMFO Medford.
Ready for a change of pace in your diet? Well, think lamb. If you buy a whole leg of lamb, you can have part of it cut into sirloin, chops, and steaks, and you can serve the remainder as a roast. Be sure to look for the U.S. Department of Agriculture grade shield with the letters USDA and the word prime or choice. It's your sign of quality. For more information on lamb, write How to Buy Meat Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. And the way that you do that is giving us a call at 617-627-3800. And of course, it's time for Did You Hear, the part of the show that Derek and I quiz each other on everything in the past couple days that we feel that you need to know or that's interesting.
Alligator.
Alligators.
We've already talked about the alligators, so there'll be no alligators in this segment of the show.
No. All right, I'm going to start out with Hamilton.
Hamilton tied but did not win the record for most Tony nominations. It was nominated for a record 16 Tony Awards. Only took home 11. So it ties with the producers.
Producers got 12.
No, the producers got 11.
That's weird. The source that I looked at, and actually multiple sources, said 12 trophies.
No.
In 2001. Are you sure?
Yes.
No, so it did win.
Or did they tie it 12? I know they tied it.
Hamilton won 11 Tony Awards this year, including Best Musical, Leading Actor, Best Score.
Oh, you get 12. All right.
So this is writer and star Lin-Manuel Miranda. This is his second win because he also won for In the Heights in 2008. Because of what had happened, and we're going to talk about it later in the show, what had happened on the early hours of Sunday morning in Orlando. That was on the top mind of many people. And his speech was beautiful, where he continued to say, love is love, and ended with, cannot be killed or swept aside. So it was a beautiful moment in it. And James Gordon did he did a great, great job.
Unbelievable. If you missed that show Sunday night.
And if anybody has ever watched his show.
One of the most entertaining things that's been on television all year.
I love him. I don't watch his show often, but one of the things that I do watch is he calls this karaoke carpooling.
Yes.
And it's with a big pop star. You know, he's had on everybody from, you know, Sia, Justin Bieber multiple times. The latest edition, and if you are a fan of Broadway, please just Google it because it is hysterical. He has three stars in there. So Tyler Ferguson was in there. There was also, as I said, Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I forget the girl that was in it. Blonde hair.
It's Jane Krakowski.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Please check it out. It is so funny. It's definitely worth a watch.
He's a Tony winner himself, that James Corden. Mm-hmm. So good choice. Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies.
Are they changing the brand or changing the recipe?
No.
I feel like there was a cookie that just came out and changed the recipe. No, I'm thinking of, what is it?
You're not paying attention, because if you had been paying attention, you'd know that it has been recalled due to possibility of peanuts being in the flour.
Why do I not know this now? Every single week.
If I mention a snack food, just say peanuts
just
and we're done.
That, yeah.
And it's not just the Famous Amos, Keebler's Grips. The variety pack.
No, not the
Grips. Keebler's Grips Graham Cinnamon, Keebler's Grips Chips Deluxe Chocolate Chip Cookies, Keebler Animal Crackers, E.L. Fudge Double Stuffed Sandwich Cookies, Mini Sandies Shortbread Cookies, and Keebler Cookie Dough Minis also have been recalled, along with some other things. No E.L. Fudge for you. No Lay's, no Rolled Gold Pretzels. Everything got the peanuts in it.
I feel like I've had many of those things in the past couple weeks.
Everything got the peanuts in it.
I'm still alive, so. All right. Lacidi Llorona.
I have no idea what that is. That a person, a place, or a thing?
It's a thing.
Can you? It's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Can you use it in a sentence?
No, that would give it away too much.
This isn't the script's spelling bee. What? No. Say that again.
Lacidi Llorona.
Lacidi Llorona.
If you looked at, I believe I found it on CNN Money.
Lacidi Llorona. I don't know.
This is the diamond that is going to be auctioned off on June 29th. It is the size of a tennis ball. It is the largest diamond in the world right now.
The 105-carat one they found in South Africa a couple years back.
This
correct?
One is 1,109 carats.
Okay, that's big.
So this diamond, it was unearthed by the Lucara Diamond Company, and they're saying that it's worth about $70 million, and it's going to net $35 million for the company. You should see this thing. It is massive.
Hot drinks.
Ooh, hot drinks, including coffee and tea, are said to possibly be linked to cancer.
Yay!
So, you're supposed to let them cool off.
Yeah, yeah. You're supposed to let them cool a bit before you drink them. Otherwise, you risk esophageal cancer. Personally, I'm going to stick to Slurpee because brain freeze is not terminal.
Mm. Walruses.
Walruses. John Lennon was one. Walruses. I didn't see anything about walruses.
It's actually a big story that came out yesterday. U.S. pilots need to be aware of flying too low and scarring walruses forced on the land in northern Alaska. So apparently, this is this big cause for concern coming from the FAA. They said, you know, with the decline in the sea ice in the Arctic because of climate change.
Yes, please, go on with the climate change.
So what's happening is all of these female walruses are moving now more into land, which are becoming closer. Because if you've ever been to Alaska, you know there is a major, two major airports, but for the majority, if you're getting from area to area, you're taking those small planes, which have been a cause for concern for the walruses, and the population is continually dwindling in the area.
Can't we just send Sarah Palin out there to scare them off? Like, she could go out there and start talking policy, and all the walruses would leave.
The FAA said they're not going to change any of the flight paths or restrictions on the pilots, but it said it will continue to inform them, and it is illegal to harass or harm walruses.
Well, I get that, but it's Alaska. The only way you're getting anywhere is to fly a plane.
It's a problem.
So send Sarah Palin out there to get the walruses out of the way. Problem
solved.
They're
completely covering the runways.
Half staff.
So that would involve a flag. Half staff. I don't think I know.
An investigation by USA Today discovered that President Barack Obama has ordered flags flown at half staff more often than any other president in United States history.
Really? Very interesting. What made them do this study?
Well, they're at half staff again. So, you know, the question comes up, how often has it happened? During President Obama's 7.5 years in office. We're at about 7.5
Look at all the tragedies that have happened in the past 7.5 years.
He has ordered flags at half staff 66 times. George W. Bush in his entire 8 years, 58 times. And Bill Clinton, 50 times.
Now, are you seeing a progression as the years go on with the amount of times that it is raised? Or were you seeing it more times in time of war if we're talking about 30s, 40s?
Interestingly, no, because this didn't start, the flags at half staff.